It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15. We're going to begin reading with verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 15, verse 19. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our phone number here is 217-847-2717. That's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website here is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to begin reading now at Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another mound's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. They which cause also, I have been much hindered from coming to you. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way hitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers to their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in fullness of blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judah, and that my service, which I have from Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and just enjoy this precious time. It's wonderful to be able to read your precious book and understand it. And the only way we can understand your precious word is if we are born again. So I ask, Father, that please, everyone that's listening, that they will examine their own hearts and, Father, look down deep in their heart and say, have I come by faith to Jesus? When did I trust in the Savior of the world? When did I trust in the cross of Calvary as Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood and then rose again 3 days later? When did I make my commitment and actually receive that gift? Father, we know that that is a time that you'll never forget. You'll never forget that time. And so, Father, if there's folks out there that do not, They believe they're saved. They've been in church all their life. I was in church all of my life, and yet I was not born again. And I can take you right to the place, Father, and you know that I can, where I met you. Even though I was churched and I was religious, Father, there's a difference between being religious, being churched, versus being born again and saved. So help, Father, today as we study this precious word, that as Paul proclaims that gospel, that all that hear this message today, this study today, will also know and understand what those words mean. So please, touch our hearts now, grow the saved, and save the lost. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These precious words here, as we begin, we find that as Paul is talking about his journey here, and in this section of Scripture, he really begins to share with the people the desire that he has to come and see them over in Rome. But his trip to Rome, we find, is just going to be on his way to Spain. And if you'd look on the map, that is a long ways. That is a tremendous distance. And today, it isn't that, you know, much of a challenge. But in Paul's day, it was by ship, and then it was just by the wind, by sails, and then also by land both. But Paul's desire, as he continues to give out the Word of God, his desire is that he would proclaim the word to those that have not heard. And so, as we enjoy and look at these verses of Scripture, and I'm going to back up. I always back up and look at a little bit of review here. But up in verse 14, it says, "For I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." And we've talked about that, you know, not only full of goodness, enjoying the grace of God and the joy, but filled with the knowledge and the wisdom that he gives us. And it is wonderful what he shares with us. He takes something sometimes so difficult to see and understand, and through prayer and through constant fellowship with him, all of a sudden it's easy to see, it's easy to understand. And then also the very end of that, able also to admonish one another, and to build up, to strengthen a brother that has fallen, to build each other up. That's what we're to be doing. We're not to be condemning or criticizing each other. We're to be building them up. And so I want you to see that. I love that verse of Scripture at verse 14. And then as we come down through to the 18th verse, it says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed." I'm speaking what God has told me to speak. The Spirit of God, as I study the Word of God, and as I enjoy the study of the Scripture, and as much as I love teaching the Word of God, I pray that it always be the Word that God has placed in my heart. Now, that comes through time of prayer and fellowship and the study of God's Word, so that we can enjoy that opportunity to share the Word of God. But we always want it to be what God has given us, not just something that I have or I want to use. And then we come to verse 19, "Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God." Now, so when we look at these verses of Scripture, and I have some miracles, some mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, and some of them are directly related to Paul himself, and others is to other folks, that and Paul is always involved with that. But let's go back to Acts, and we're going to go back to Acts chapter 9. And we're going to read some verses of Scripture here concerning things that God has used in Paul's life. Acts chapter 9, these signs and these wonders. Now, these signs and wonders no longer exist today because we have the fullness of the Word of God. We do not need for me to have the power of doing miracles to having these signs and wonders. Now, God can do it, but he's not going to do it through me touching someone's hand and they're healed. This time, we have the fullness of the Word of God. We're to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so I want you to understand that. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched in the gate and the gates day and night to kill them. For the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in the basket. Now, what we're looking at here, because you'll notice his name is still Saul, we're looking immediately up on Paul's salvation. And of course, his name prior to being saved was Paul, was Saul, not Paul. And so we have in the ninth chapter there, but what was taking place here, and let's just back up to verse 20 here a little bit further so we can maybe understand it. And straightway he preached Christ. This is Paul, or Saul, already, right after he was saved, right after he was baptized. Straightway preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Immediately they desired to put him to death. And so what a joy to see someone born again. And he was a desiring. You can go back very quickly into Acts chapter 7 and see where they were. They stoned Stephen to death, and Saul held his coat, held his cloak. And so in such a short time, and so quickly, we find this man saved and preaching. And they saved him. They were going to hunt him down and kill him. But by the miracle of God, he was kept safe. Let's go to chapter 14 of Acts. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. And there came thither a certain Jew from Antioch and Iconium, whom persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city and supposed him to be dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas and Derbe. I believe that he was dead. I think God rose, lifted him back up again. You see, nothing's going to happen to you, nothing's going to happen to me until God's finished with us here. He'll take us home, and that will be a wonderful day. But until then, we're going to strive on, we're going to labor forward, and we're going to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. But they were so angry that they drew him out and they stoned him to death. Again, what a miracle. What signs, what proofs we have of God's power and God's strength. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 9 through 12. This is just a few of them that God's chose to list in his precious word. Acts chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell upon him and embraced him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Again, miracles that God performed, signs that God used. Verse 20, chapter 28, verses 1 through 6 in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. I hope you can hear the pages because I'm turning as we're enjoying this. And Acts chapter 28, verse 1 through 6. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us up every one because of that present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw this venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds and said that he was a god. See how people are fickle. They move from one side to the other so quickly. So as we go back now to Romans, to the 15th chapter, and we look at this 19th verse, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't some special power that Paul possessed. Not at all. It wasn't something that was given to him. It's something the Spirit of God did to further the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, to prove that Paul was a messenger of the truth, the Word of God. That's the purpose. And so we find that it gives us the direction, that the geographic area that he has served in giving out the gospel. And this word that I keep stumbling over, Illyricum, and then Jerusalem, those two areas, you'll find that the one is found above Macedonia. And so it was quite a territory to say that Paul has taken the gospel all the way from Jerusalem and the surrounding area, and then all the way up to north of Macedonia, and then that whole region there. And so as we find that this is where I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So he has been through these areas, through these regions, and he has went out to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he said, "I have fully preached it." And that's what he's preached. He hasn't preached a social gospel. He has preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus so the people would be saved, would be born again. Will you please come by faith to Jesus? Will you be born again? Please. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. In other words, I go to other areas. Because if someone else has already been there, there are so many areas and so many regions that need the gospel, the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that I'm not going to go someplace where it's already been preached. I'm going into a new area. Because Paul was an apostle. And so his desire was that he would lay the foundation, and then others would build upon it. So he would go out, and when I say lay the foundation, that is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So many places today have lost their foundation. They do not possess a foundation upon what they're building. They are building their lives, they're working, you're serving in the church, and you're doing all these things. But you lack the foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation is what you need to build upon. You need to build upon that foundation. But you can't build upon something you don't possess. You need, I beg you, please come by faith to Jesus today. Trust in Him, the gospel, salvation, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's everything. Your baptism is nothing until you're born again. And when you're born again, then it's time to follow in scriptural baptism, not in sprinkling, but in a scriptural baptism. You go down into the water, pictures your death with Christ, in Christ. You come back out of the water, it pictures your resurrection with Christ, in Christ. Please, that you own this, you possess this, but the only way you can have it is if you accept it as a gift. Call upon Jesus today for salvation. He said, oh, I don't believe in that personal. Well, if you don't believe in the personal relationship with Jesus, then you have nothing. You have nothing. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. Please don't miss that. Don't miss that. Paul's desire was that he would take it out to areas that no one else had been. Verse 21, for it is written, to whom I was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. I desire to take out this gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, lay that foundation, and others come, and they take it, and they feed. They'll be pastors, and they'll be shepherds, and they'll feed the flock. But also that shepherd, that pastor, he needs to continue to give the gospel. He needs to continue to tell people that Jesus died for them. I'm telling you, Jesus died for you. Have you come by faith to Jesus? Have you trusted in Him as your personal Savior? Or is it just something that you think you've done, but you don't really can't really put a time period on it? Kind of when I've, you know, yeah, I've always believed. No. No, my friend, please don't believe that lie that Satan has planted in your heart and in your life, in your mind. You will begin. You will remember the day you got saved. You will remember that. Do not forget. Do not forget to accept that gift of salvation that He offers to you. So we find that He has fully preached the gospel. We find that this foundation that He's laying, and then let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 may kind of help you a little bit there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. All right, but you need to start with the foundation. There's only the only foundation. Other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You must have faith. You must have come by faith to Jesus and know the time. No, you cannot meet the God, the Savior of the world, and not know it. I can't spend enough time expressing that today. Because I know there are multitudes of people that are listening to this radio program that think you're saved. And I'm not saying that this is the only church to come to be saved. I'm saying the only way to be saved is to come by faith to Jesus Christ. And most churches and places have stopped bringing out that truth. They've stopped telling people that you must be born again. And once you're born again, once you have come by faith to Jesus, you are saved forever. You don't have to come back and ask, you know, be sure and confess all your sins to keep your salvation. Your salvation is yours the day you meet Him, and that's a day you will not forget. Now, you will have to come back and ask him to forgive you because of your life. We are still living in the flesh, and so we need to come back and say, please, please, dear God, forgive me. Please that you, and it's not for your salvation. You're saved. He's keeping you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But if you want to have fellowship, it's just like in your family. If you do something to your children, or if you do something to your spouse or to a friend, and all of a sudden you've broken that fellowship. They're kind of standing away from you. They don't want to talk to you anymore or visit with you. And the reason is because of something you've done or something you've said. So you need to go to them and you need to ask them truly, will you forgive me? And regain that fellowship. It's the same way with us, with our God. We can break fellowship, but you cannot break your salvation, because the salvation is given to you by faith. It's given to you as a free gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes by faith. So please believe and trust in him today, and don't miss that opportunity. And so we see here that that foundation is what Paul wants to lay, and he wants to, and then others can build upon it. And so again, verse 21, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. I want to take it out there for folks that have never heard it, that they will understand. In other words, be born again. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. I've been so busy giving out the gospel into areas that have never heard. And that's the reason I haven't been able to come over to you, but I'm sure looking. But now, having no more place in these parts, having a great desire these many years to come unto you, I have proclaimed the gospel, I have preached the gospel, I have laid that foundation through this whole region. And so now I'm ready. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way hitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. And so, you see, Paul wasn't planning on just going to Rome and staying there. He was just going to stop by, see them, build them up, proclaim the word of God and fellowship with them and build them up. And then on to Spain he was going, because Spain was another frontier to give the gospel, to hear the gospel, to go out. And it's so sad that in America, the gospel is so, the light is so bright, the gospel is so clear, and yet so few people get saved. And it's because the devil has tricked most churches and most religions into stop giving out the gospel as a free gift, and they've tied it to works. Whether it be baptism or the Lord's Supper or some work that you can do to get your salvation and to keep it. That is a lie that man, Satan, has placed in man's mind and heart, and it's a lie. Jesus died on the cross. He died once for you. If you could lose your salvation, then Jesus would have to die again and again and again. Every time that you would come back to him, he would have to die anew. Jesus died on the cross and took all of your sins away. All you need to do is come by faith to him and be born again. So you see, Paul says, I'm on my way to Spain, but I can't wait to stop in and see you for a little bit, because I want to fellowship with you, and I want to help to build you up and to help you to grow, and I'm so proud of you. But I've got a place to go first. I need to go to Jerusalem, and there's a reason for that. Now, we're going to start there next time we come together, and we'll finish out that chapter and then get on to chapter 16. But please, that you will look and realize and recognize Paul's desire to see them, but Paul's desire to always be laying the foundation, in other words, giving out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it's so important that we see that it's carried out in that way. And so please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?